Hey guys.
Hey patrons.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
This week we're actually not doing anything like too crazy. Instead, we're going to do a movie.
A new movie.
A new movie that Jane and I have now both seen. And yes. What is it, Jane?
It is Joker.
Yeah, so hopefully you've seen it. Been out for like what, a couple weeks now?
Yeah, a couple weeks.
All right. Well, ooh, how should we start? Just with a synopsis, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. So it stars Joaquin Phoenix. So good.
Yeah, as always.
He's a wonderful actor. And it's basically about this guy named Arthur Flick, who is an incredibly mentally ill entertainer. He works as a clown, so just doing odd jobs as a clown, like children's parties and waving signs and stuff. And one day he gets jumped whenever he is like swinging his sign around.
Yeah.
And it's very sad, and he gets like beat up. And then we kind of delve deeper into his life. We become acquainted with his mother, who is played by that chick who's in American Horror Story.
Yes. What's her name? She's good.
The old lady.
Yeah, she plays the blind ass maid.
Yeah, she's really good.
And she's in Coven too. She plays the lady with the crazy hair.
Yeah.
Her name is. It is. It's Frances Conroy.
Yes, Frances Conroy. She's very good. She plays Penny Flick, right?
Yes.
Penny Flick. And so basically we kind of go into his life and his day-to-day. He's suffering from, I think they called it something psychosis. And it confused me because it wasn't really like much of a diagnosis. It was more of like, this is what you're experiencing.
Yeah.
Which was a little confusing.
I'm not really sure he has a real diagnosed like mental illness.
Yeah.
He does have like some kind of illness that makes him like laugh at inappropriate times uncontrollably. Like his emotions he express don't match the emotions he's feeling.
It's kind of like Tourette's a little bit.
Yeah. So he has like that, along with like some psychosis problems.
He sees things that aren't really there, experiences things that don't really happen.
Mm-hmm. And basically, like, it's his story of how he turns into the Joker, right? That we know as like the classic Batman villain. And it also is Batman's origin story a little bit.
Yeah, it's pretty cool how they tie that in there.
Yeah. So sad. Really sad movie. Happy movie.
Not a happy movie. And so basically going through the movie, at one point this guy gives him a gun, but we're not really sure if he actually gives him the gun, right? Because it could have been a hallucination.
Yeah, but I think he gives it to him because of when he shows up in his apartment later and is like, oh, like, we're cool, right? I think he did give him the gun.
He gave him a gun, and then he dropped it at a kid's party and lost his job, and it was really sad.
Yeah.
And then he runs into these guys on the subway, and they're, like, you know, rich white men who are, like, part of the company, Bruce Wayne's
total
dad's.
Kyles.
Company. They are
disgusting.
Basically they like jump him, and they jump Arthur, and he kills them with the gun, and it shows it.
He kills him hard.
He does. He goes for it.
He really tracks him down.
So that's his first kill, and basically everything up until then you kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah, and essentially, like, his kills begin this, like, class war. Like, accidentally, like, he's killing at least the first two in self-defense, and the third one kind of, like, not to leave witnesses. And then, basically, it starts this, like, huge class war between the really poor in Gotham and the incredibly rich, because there's already, like, a lot of wealth disparity in the town, and it's caused, like, a lot of crime.
Yeah. And, I mean, and to be fair, like, that is a problem.
I mean, yeah, and that happens in real life. Like, that is a huge indicator of, like, crime is wealth inequality. So, that's very accurate, but his actions accidentally, like, essentially people grasp onto it and think it's, like, a statement when really it's not. But he kind of, like, grasps onto that and, like, likes it.
Yeah, because he keeps saying he wants to be a stand-up comedian, and he keeps saying that, like, finally people know who I am, or finally people are paying attention to me, and usually people just act like I don't even exist.
Yeah, so it's really sad because he's, like, he is obviously really mentally ill, and, like, this horrible act he, like, sees as, like, kind of how the other people is, he makes himself into a hero.
Yeah.
But essentially the rest of it...
Well, villains always think they're heroes, right?
That's so true. Nobody ever thinks they're the villain.
Yeah, exactly. Oof. It's right to them.
That's true. And I think, really that's what this movie is, like, a very morally ambiguous look at, like, one of cinema's, like, worst villains, I guess. Not even just cinema's, but, like, entertainments, I guess, like, worst villains. Like, the Joker is, like, infamous for being this horrible, horrible person. And this is, like, a very... It's very ambiguous. Like, it wants you to kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that that shows that even that you're a person because you can empathize with someone who does these horrible things. And it's exhausting, but people do it. That's, like, what therapists do in prisons, mm-hmm. is they empathize with these people who don't really have any empathy for anyone else, but someone has to do it. And it really gives people the opportunity to explore, I think, their emotions towards how people become bad.
Yeah.
Because I think that it shows there's a scene where he says that, what do you get when you cross a weird loner like me and a system that doesn't care about him?
I think he says something like, how, like, he mentions in that speech, that's with Murray, right? Like, Robert De Niro's
character.
Yeah,
that's with Bobby De Niro, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he's Bobby De Niro. And he says, like, what do you get when you cross, like, a really mentally ill person with a society that doesn't care? And it's like, this is what you get. Like, someone who will do anything.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so sad. He also, it appears that, like, okay, so he, at one point, through a lot of the movie, he believes that the Wayne, what's Batman's dad's name?
Is it Richard Wayne?
Maybe. It's not Bruce, that's Batman.
No, that's Batman.
It's Thomas.
Thomas Wayne.
Okay, he believes that Thomas Wayne is his father, and his mother used to work for him as a maid, and he believes that, like, they were in love, and she got pregnant, and then he couldn't do it because of, like, looks, basically. The optics. But in reality, like, later we find out that actually he was adopted, not conceived at all, like, of her. Yeah. And that his mom is also very mentally ill.
They said that she has narcissistic personality disorder. And something else.
Yeah, I think another form of psychosis, maybe.
Yeah, and it gets really sad. I cried in the movie whenever he finds out what happened to him as a kid.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, basically his mom, like, allowed him to be abused, like, almost to the point of death, and it caused him to suffer a severe brain injury which mm-hmm. is the cause of basically, like, which is where all of his, like, personality problems started. Like, up until that point, he was normal. And it's, yep. like, the severe brain injury is what caused all of his, like, mental health problems. And all these years, she had basically lied to him about it because she, like, felt so guilty that she, like, convinced herself that it wasn't true.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's like a soup. You know, what, like, what do you get when you add this already mentally ill mother to a child who she allows to be abused, tied to a radiator with severe brain so damage.
Sad. Yeah.
So sad.
I cannot believe that he was, like, allowed to go back to her.
I know.
I mean, I know that she didn't abuse him, but, like,
but I guess it's just a system that doesn't care.
I know. I guess that's the point.
Also, there's that scene where whenever he's in there with the social worker and she's like, they cut our funding, and he's like, where am I going to get my medication? And she says, I'm sorry, Arthur.
I know.
I'm just like, oh my God.
Well, it's so sad too, because, like, the whole time she doesn't even give a shit about, like, what he thinks. And he says, she's like, he's like, all you do is come in and ask me if I have negative thoughts. And he's like, all I have are negative thoughts. Like,
But you don't listen to them.
You don't listen at all. You just, like, ask me the same fucking questions.
Which is so real for therapists and stuff with burnout.
It is really sad, too. And also what I think is interesting about it is it's kind of a realistic look at what it's like to be, like, severely impoverished.
Yeah, it is. So it totally,
like,
is.
It's a very realistic depiction of, I mean, obviously, like, really mentally ill poor people aren't becoming the Joker. Because the situation is so real, it makes it really easy to believe and understand, like, why Arthur could do what he does.
Yeah, it makes it very believable, and, like, I like how the movie makes you understand, but without ever giving him a free pass.
Yeah, I mean, by no means are you in the movie like, hell yeah, Joker. You're not. You feel bad for him, and some of his actions are, like, justified, especially, like, the self-defense thing in the beginning. Yeah, you're kind of like,
yeah,
okay, but then it's like later it just becomes he does it because he can.
Yeah. Yep. Robert De Niro's in it, which I think is interesting because people have been comparing this movie a lot to Taxi Driver, which I really like that movie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Robert De Niro's in that, and they both portray, like, there's a lot of, they both portray very mentally ill men who have, like, a downslide into madness. And there's a couple of scenes, like, where they're both writing the letter when they write in their diaries, like, this, mm-hmm. they're in the same pose or something like that.
Ooh.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. Did you know that Joaquin Phoenix lost 52 pounds for this movie?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. The body of Arthur is one of the scariest parts of this movie.
It is, and he, like, contorts one of his arms in a certain way that's like, ugh. Yeah.
It's, like, so, it's, like, not grotesque isn't the right word, but it's, like, odd. It's an odd-looking body.
Yes, yes.
I want to talk about what I think is, like, one of the saddest parts in the movie, and the moment where I think you, like, really realize, like, okay, Arthur is not well. He's not just, like, a little ill. He's, like, majorly not okay. The girl, his neighbor.
Oh my gosh.
How through like, half the movie, you think they're dating. And, I mean, you, like, never feel good for the girl, because you're like, holy shit, what's he gonna do? What's he gonna do? But when you realize that they were never together at all.
They had one interaction in an elevator.
And that he just imagined everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that coming, though. I was like,
oh, boy.
It's going to be, it's like, it's a hallucination for sure.
I thought he was going to kill her. I thought, like, he was going to flip out and kill her. But when when he went in, I guess I was a little surprised that she was just, like, so into him.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, weird, because she's really hot.
And not that Joaquin Phoenix isn't a good-looking guy, but as the Joker?
No, he's not. He got that weird body. And he's obviously very strange. Yeah, but like that scene where he goes into her apartment and she's like, "You, who are Arthur? Like, you need to go, please." I was like, ah!
It was so scary.
I thought he was going to straight up murder her right there, but he didn't, so thank God.
Honestly, people were talking about how violent it is, and I didn't think it was that violent, but maybe that's because I saw Midsommar and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I didn't think it was that violent either. I mean, also, I think what's interesting about Arthur is he only, like, kills people that he deems, like, worthy. Like, people who have, like, actively wronged him.
Yeah. He has a fucked up sense of like morality, but he has morality.
Exactly. He has morality though. He kills police officers, but that's only because they're like trying to stop him, not because he like hates them.
Yeah.
And he doesn't kill that woman. He doesn't kill the little person that comes to his apartment. He lets him go. Like, he doesn't really, like, hurt anybody that hasn't, like, wronged him or isn't actively trying to, like, stop him.
Yeah. Yeah, so he, you know, you can't say that he doesn't have that idea of right and wrong.
Yeah, it's, I mean, just he does, not, just fucked up.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the idea that, like, murder could ever be right, it's like...
Exactly. And I think that that was, like, the turning point in his character.
Mm-hmm. Is that, like, murder is okay?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that was kind of supported by, because the first one was kind of like self-defense because they were going to beat him to death.
Yeah.
But I think that whenever he decides to actively kill people, he just, you know, signs a deal with the devil, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of deal with the devil, you can tune into the Flick Chicks regular feed to listen to a real deal with the devil.
That's so true. But that'll have come out before this. So hopefully... you've listened.
I always get mixed up with all the dates.
I know. It's because we record Patreon first, but the actual episode comes out first, if that makes sense. We always record this first so that you guys get all the extra rambling.
Yes, of course.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. I thought... Robert De Niro was good.
Oh, I think the acting in this is really excellent.
Yeah, I agree. I think that really made it for me, especially Joaquin Phoenix. He was just so believable.
I know. And, okay, one of the things, I mean, it's no secret that, like, I'm not a huge fan of superhero movies or, like, villain movies. And a lot of times it's because, like, to me, it's everyone just, like, imitating each other. And it's, like, similar plot lines. Like, it has, like, a structure that is really closely followed. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, there's, like, a movie that comes out that's a superhero movie that's, like, way different. And then it sets a new precedent, and then everyone tries to follow that. I feel like this movie is that. I feel like this movie is going to set, like, a new precedent, and everyone's going to try to follow it and just, like, not be as good. But I appreciate that Joaquin Phoenix did not just try to be Heath Ledger.
Yeah, and he didn't try to be anyone. He said he didn't really take any inspiration from any other adaptation of Joker. He said that he, like, I just wanted to do something like that new, something new.
Yeah, good, because what happens is, like, you have, like, the Dark Knight Rises trilogy where Heath Ledger does, like, the most incredible Joker. And then everybody after that was like, okay, I have to be Heath Ledger Joker. But it's like, none of you are Heath Ledger, so none of you are going to be as good as him.
True.
And it always is just like these weird, pale imitations that nobody likes. And that like hurts your movie so much. It's the same reason why everyone tries to be Christian Bale's Batman, even though it's like, okay, well, none of you are Christian Bale. So none of you are going to be able to do it like he does. So you need to just scrap that and act the way you want to act, or act like you are cast because you have something special, like something that stands out. Like, why are you trying to imitate some other actor?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that Joaquin Phoenix really brings it to the table.
I think so, too.
Like,
I think
originality, so good.
I think he's going to be the one that people copy now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In this new Batman movie with Robert Pattinson, I don't think the Joker is going to be in there.
I hope not. I think that it was, and also,
it's Catwoman.
Yeah, because the Joker was set in 1981, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I think that the Batman movie is going to be set in, like, maybe the late 90s or the early 2000s.
Okay. From what I've heard, that this movie, the director said he didn't want it to be associated with any other Batman movies. Like, he doesn't want it. He doesn't want there to be more made. He doesn't want it to become a part of the canon. He wants it to be like its own separate movie. Which I think he basically secured because Batman's like 8 years old in this movie and the Joker is like 50. So
I think he's like 40.
Maybe, but unless Batman's gonna be fighting Joker like basically with a cane.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen. Now, if this were to become a part of the canon, what I could see is maybe this inspires copycats.
Yeah, for sure.
And that it becomes like a James Bond kind of thing where it's like a legacy.
Yeah, I see
which
that.
Which a lot of superhero films have started doing because a lot of their actors are becoming like far too old. Like, obviously... spoiler here for Endgame, so skip ahead like 30 seconds. But with Captain America.
Yeah.
Like that being passed on.
Yeah, for sure. That role being passed on to someone worthy.
Yeah, so I think they'll start doing that more, and then spoiler for Into the Spider-Verse, so skip ahead 30 seconds. The way that Peter Parker passed that on to Milo, like I think that will, especially as actors want to drop out, that will start becoming more and more the case because they're not going to let the heroes die, and they're not going to reboot the whole fucking sequence because they spent 19 movies making the sequence. I think they'll just pass it on to the newer actors they're bringing in and build up their careers, and then when those actors are finally famous enough, they'll be like, fuck this, I'm out. And then they'll move on. But I think the writer seems like pretty adamant that he doesn't want any more of these movies.
That's good. I think that's a good call.
Yeah, and I think Joaquin Phoenix too is like, I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah. He said that it wasn't too taxing on him though. He said he was like he felt really fulfilled by it and not like disturbed at all.
Yeah, because he's a fucking actor. Method acting is dangerous.
It is. We need to do a study on it.
I'll die on that hill. I'll die on that hill. Stop method acting, you dumb bitches. Have you seen, oh my god, Hereditary talk for a second. Have you seen, I saw this interview with, Toni Collette?
Yeah.
Where she was doing an interview and they were talking about like her performance in Hereditary and they said like, oh, like was it horrible? And she was like, no, it's a movie.
That's
they were like, but, like, was it, like, really hard for you to do? And she was like, no, it's a movie. It's fake. And I come to work, and I work, and then I leave. And they were like, well, what about, like, Alex Wolff? Like, I heard he needed therapy. And she went, yeah, he sure is something, isn't he? I was like, bitch, yes, that is it. It's like, stop fucking killing yourselves for work, bitch. Just become a better actor.
True. Spitting the truth.
I think about that Britney Spears meme where it's like, it's a movie, it's fake, you're an adult, you should know that. That's what I think about whenever people are like method acting. I'm like, it's a movie, it's fake, you're an adult, you should know that. Like, stop. What's wrong with you?
Send a fan letter to Daniel Day-Lewis with that.
I literally will. Daniel Day-Lewis, fucking stop.
I think he is stopping because he's too stressed out from method acting.
Probably. That's why he has to fucking retire every 5 years. Because he's like, I need a goddamn mental health break. And I have to stop making money because I need a mental health break. And it's like, hi, if you could just learn to act, you could maybe keep making movies. Also, I'm like, I know you can act. Like, also, okay. I understand getting in the zone and needing to stay in the zone. But to do that, you could just not talk to anyone. You could just sit by yourself and think, and then when you're done, you could talk to people. But literally for like 2 months of your life, having to nonstop be in character, don't you think it's a little overkill? Don't you think you're kind of faking it? You don't go to sleep at night and have dreams like you're goddamn Abraham Lincoln, okay? Like, you're kind of faking it to be pretentious, and it's time to just admit that. It's not real. It's psychologically dangerous to actively pretend you're somebody else. And the odds are, if you're that good of a method actor, you're probably just a good regular actor, so you should just stop and be a good regular actor.
True.
I believe Alex Wolff said he'll never method act again because it was so terrible.
Good. He shouldn't.
Yeah. He shouldn't. I should have done my senior thesis over that.
You should have.
I didn't really know how easy it would be to find sources. Not that any of my shit is easy to find sources for, but...
That's fair. I think you would it would have to be more like a case study.
Yeah, and then how accurate are those, really? Especially coming
Not
from
very.
Me.
Not very. I mean, you know, you could do it, though.
I mean, I could do it, but would it be, like, worthy of anything? No. I mean, I could do anything. I could build a spaceship, but would I fly it to space? No.
I was trying to think of any more fun facts about Joker.
So, one thing I kind of thought, like, after I left, I was kind of uncomfortable with it, I guess. Like, I do feel like it does kind of make excuses for violent... Or, not that. It kind of makes it seem like mentally ill people are violent.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of does make it seem that way, but I
didn't
love,
but I also know it's the Joker.
Yeah, and I think that what they were trying to do is to say that, like, not everyone is born bad. Not everyone who is bad was born bad. Most people were made that way. And I know that that's what they're trying to say, because that is true. You know, it's, like I said, it's like a soup mixed with all of these different factors relating to trauma, relating to mental illness, and just relating to all these different things. So I think that it shows really well that people aren't really born bad.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's kind of like when people, okay, like when there's a school shooting or a mass shooting or something, and people are like, oh, well, the shooter was mentally ill. And it's like, okay, well, there are plenty of mentally, for one, like half the time that's not even true. Half the time it's like, okay, they had no diagnosed mental illness, nor did they actively exhibit any symptoms that hinted at a mental illness, other than maybe like some normal kind of depressive symptoms that a lot of people deal with all the time. Like, that's very normal for non-mentally ill people to deal with. So a lot of times that isn't even true. But then, even if it is true, there are plenty of actually mentally ill people roaming the streets who don't become violent ever.
Yeah, yeah. And it's that idea that people have that, that idea that a lot of people have that, sorry, I am getting off track. It's a That's Patreon okay. episode. It's fine. It's fine.
These are our friends.
These are our friends, guys. Hi, we love you. it's this idea that you have to be crazy to kill someone else, because that act automatically makes you crazy, but that's not true.
Yeah, I mean, how many true crime stories do we know where perfectly seemingly sane people? It's never the weird guy that you thought was going to kill you. It's always the, like...
It's the BTK.
Pillar, it's the pillar of the community.
Yeah.
Every pillar of the community, I don't trust you. If you're a pillar of the community, you might as well just release everything on yourself right now, because it's all going to come out.
Guys, have you seen Donnie Darko? Have you seen Patrick Swayze's performance? It's always the pillar of the community.
It's always the pillar of the community. It's always the person that goes to church every Sunday and never had a speeding ticket and who loved his wife very much. It's always them. It's never the weird recluse. It's like, that's 1 in 100,000. That's like the one Ed Gein for every Ted Bundy.
So true. So true. Ed Gein is an enigma, that guy.
He is. I mean, he's a weird guy.
Weird guy, but honestly, he makes me sad, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Serial killers make me sad, but they also make me angry, which I think is probably normal.
Well, yeah. I've been listening to Crime Junkie a lot lately. I've been really into that.
I love
Crime
Junkie. Because
I have so many episodes, and I've been like, I have nothing to do all day, so all I do is listen to podcasts and watch TV. I literally got through the People versus O.J. Simpson in 2 days, which is like 10 hours of content. And
have you started the assassination of Gianni Versace yet?
Yes, I have. I'm on episode 3.
It's good.
It is really good. It's a lot different, but it's really good.
Darren Criss is really good.
Oh, hot. Scary. Yeah, People versus O.J. Simpson was really amazing. I didn't know like any of that stuff.
I knew
like some of it. People versus O.J. Simpson.
You hadn't seen it?
No, I hadn't seen it because, I mean, I knew the story, but David Schwimmer makes me really uncomfortable. I don't like his face, so okay. I don't like to watch a lot of things with David Schwimmer in it. I think it's because I can't not see Ross, and I hate Ross so much.
I also hate Ross.
Ross is just actively the worst person. So I hate watching, and I hate the way David Schwimmer talks.
He's pretty good as Robert Kardashian, though.
He is, and he's not in it that much. He's in it a lot in the beginning, but then he kind of goes away once the trial starts, which is really where it heats up. And Sarah Paulson kind of made it all worth it. And the guy that played OJ was amazing.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes, amazing. So I was really into it. I did not know that one of the people on OJ's team founded the Innocence Project, which is like such a big thing that I hear about all the time, the Innocence Project.
Yeah, they work with Anon.
I know! And they've worked with like tons and tons of cold cases. In fact, I was literally just listening to a Crime Junkie episode where they donated like over $18,000 to the Innocence Project, and they were like probably going to get to solve like 5 or 6 cold cases from that. And from that donation, and I was like, that is fucking crazy. And I love the Innocence Project, and I didn't know that the guy that worked on OJ's case, like, apparently felt so fucking guilty about OJ.
You know, sometimes guilt charities work.
Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, Bill Gates, right?
Podrick, leave.
J.K. Rowling, all of it. You know who not, though? Jeff Bezos. He does not have a guilt charity.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
I was looking this up the other day. Jeff Bezos gave less money in charity than Bill and Melinda Gates did, despite the fact that he has, like, 4 times their wealth.
That is so messed up.
He gave less than 0.1% of his wealth to charity.
I think if you make that much money, I think that you should be forced to donate to charity.
I think so, too. Or just be forced to not have it.
Like, I don't know, man. That's just not a very nice thing to do.
I know. I don't like Jeff Bezos at all.
Me either.
I don't trust him. I don't trust him. I don't really trust billionaires at all, but especially I don't trust billionaires who have no shame in their wealth hoarding. Sorry if you can hear me drinking. It's mimosa day.
Ooh.
I know. Ooh. Yeah, I know. Because I went to the store. I got to go to the store yesterday.
Yay.
Oh, yeah. Got to finally get some food. I got my stipend.
Are you excited to talk about the Vitch?
Yeah. I gotta be honest. My opinions have not really changed. They changed a little, but not as much as you would have liked. So I have a IMDb review for The Joker. I want to say, I tried to find one that was funny. I tried to go through and find a 1-star. There are literally no 1-stars. The lowest review I found in like 4 or 5 pages of scrolling was, maybe more, was like 6 out of 10.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, almost every single one is a 9 or a 10 out of 10.
Like, that's really cool.
I could not it has an 8.6, and I thought, like, okay, it's going to have mostly 10s and then, like, a couple 1s to bring it down. No, it has an 8.6 because it legitimately has an 8.6.
That's really cool.
Okay, so this is 7 out of 10. Terrific Joaquin, just not the Joker. Overall, the acting is the best part of the movie. Most of all Joaquin, but also De Niro and the wonderful Francis Conroy. Big fan. However, several of the skills the Joker had were left out. Top strategist, excellent chemist. What is left is a so-and-so comedian bordering on loser, which is spelled wrong, it's spelled like loser, turning into a psychopath. And please, the cliche of bad childhood and mother did him wrong, etc., worth a big Joker laugh. I also missed the grand finale. Maybe Arthur is using the raids to increase them, create chaos, etc. In the end, it's a good movie about a character developed from loser to psycho. Not new, but well done and acted. For me, it is just not the title character. I will be happy if Joaquin might get an Oscar or Frances as supporting actress, but can't see the movie deserving more awards. About the often in the media mentioned brutality. Well, brutal behavior in a movie about a psychopath. Wow, I'm shocked. Who would have guessed? And sarcasm. And end review. I feel like
the movie is based on a graphic novel.
That's what I was gonna say too. It's not based on like the comics.
No, it's based on The Killing Joke, which is a graphic novel about just a reinterpretation of the Joker. Yeah, so that's what it's based on. It wasn't meant to be the comic Joker.
Yeah, which is also why I think like they're not gonna be using this Joker in the canon.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's a good decision.
It's not the canon Joker. It's the material wasn't canon. This is not canon. But that's probably why it's so good.
True.
Because it's way more of an actual cinema piece than like a superhero film.
Yeah,
I kept seeing people in the reviews be like, stop comparing this to Endgame, but I just couldn't find any reviews that compared it to Endgame, but I really tried, because I was like, who the fuck is out here comparing this to Endgame? First of all, not the same fucking company.
Not even in the same realm.
Not even in the same universe. Second of all, like, what? They're not even close to the same types of films. This is like a biopic. It's like a, what is it called? I don't know what it's called.
Like,
not a biopic, because that's about real people, but
a character study?
Yeah, or like a not a coming of age, that's like for kids. You know, it's about how he became the Joker.
Origin.
Origin story, that's it. That's it. It's an origin movie. It's more like Logan than it would be like, although that's not an origin story either. I haven't seen that, but I haven't seen any of the Wolverine films, and I was told that I probably need to see at least one.
I didn't watch any of them before I saw it, so it's okay.
Okay, maybe I'll watch it then.
It's everyone a pretty saying, good drama. It's definitely a drama. It's pretty good.
Everyone said, you need to see Wolverine, and I was like, well, I haven't. And they're like, well, you won't get it. I was like, I mean, I know who Wolverine is. I know what he does. It's what Hugh Jackman does to make money so he can do his musicals.
So true. That's the dream as an actor, isn't it? As a stage actor.
That's what like Jake Gyllenhaal does. He like does one big movie every like 5 years so that he can go do his like little indie cinema pieces that make nothing.
So true. I love his little indie cinema pieces though.
If I was ever going to be a famous movie actor, that's what I would do. I would just do, like, one big thing every few years that's, like, a big name, and then I'd just be like, oh, time to go back to A24 or whatever else small studio.
Sorry, Podrick is ruining my life right now.
Aw, sweet baby. Sweet little prince.
He's a little prince.
Hi, baby. You can't hear me because she has headphones, but hi.
Oh boy.
I look at pictures of him every day.
Aww.
Yeah, every day. I like, where's Podrick? They have a cat cafe here and I need to go.
Yes, go.
Mm-hmm. But you can't adopt any of the cats.
Well, I mean, you're in Europe, so I would hope you wouldn't adopt a cat.
Well, you know. Maybe we get like an apartment cat that stays here when I leave. We're not allowed to have pets.
Gotcha.
But there is this guy I met in someone's house. Like a friend of mine. It's one of his flatmates, but I don't know his name. I don't remember. But he had a bearded dragon, but it was like tiny. It was like a little, it's only like a year old. I got to hold him. He was really sweet. He was so sweet. I love animals. There's like no animals here. I haven't seen one stray cat.
Really? Not, I saw, like, a ton when I was in Spain and stuff.
Not one! I know, I need to go to Portugal. Tickets for Lisbon in January are, like, £18, so I need to go.
Yeah, it's, there are cats everywhere there.
Mm-hmm. We're going to Spain, but we're going to, like, the very south, because that's where it'll be warm.
Yeah.
So we're not going to, like, Madrid or anything like that, because it'll be kind of cold. But I need to go, just personally.
Yeah, I think that you'd love it.
I think I would, too. I need to go. I have so many trips planned. I need to stop going places, but I just can't. I'm here. It's really bad. I have no money, but I have my stipend. I've hidden it away from myself.
That's really good. I need to do that, too.
I've gotten my cash. I've just put it away. I'm just not going to touch it until I have to go to Greece and Italy. And I'm going to turn 100 of it into euros and go. And then I'm going to try and leave the rest for when I go to the Netherlands.
Nice.
It's expensive. It's expensive. Yes, it all,
but you're
it
going to travel
cheap.
So much.
I know. It seems cheap, but then it's expensive.
Yeah. That's life.
I know. Also, I have to pack a whole week's worth of clothes in my backpack, and I don't know how I'm going to do it. Not just a week's worth of clothes, but also my toiletries. And I have to leave room if I'm going to bring anything back, so... Rip. 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 Well, alright, I think that's it.
We rambled for a minute, so I think that's all for the Patreon, and now we can just get to recording our next episode.
Oh, yeah. I hope you guys liked it if you already listened to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.